Maybe lawmakers were listening. Now there's a compromise bill in the Senate. And the center's cybersecurity task force has issued another report saying only a fraction of cyber attacks are reported. Rob Strayer from the Bipartisan Policy Center contributed to both reports and joins us now with an update. Good morning, Mr. Strayer.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So let's talk a little bit about this new bill in the Senate. It could be voted on as early as this week. What are some of the major changes between now and when you issued that first report?
Well, the version of the bill that they're now considering significantly dials back the regulatory component. It makes it strictly voluntary that companies have to comply with cybersecurity performance standards. It provides incentives through limitations on liability from lawsuits for a cybersecurity incident, and it provides some additional incentives to try to get companies comply with those standards without being required to. The only actual requirement in there seems to be that for a significant cyber incident, a company that owns critical infrastructure assets would have to report that to the government. So that seems to me, in the reading of it, to be the only mandate on companies.
So does this completely pull the potential of Homeland Security out of the equation when it comes to critical infrastructure in the private sector?
Do you mean the Department of Homeland Security?
Yes, the DHS.
DHS, with the Secretary of DHS, it sets up a council structure so it would coordinate between various different departments, which I actually think is a kind of an elegant way to do this because many different departments have regulatory or some kind of oversight of different sectors of industry that have cybersecurity issues. And it keeps the Secretary of Homeland Security as the chair of this council. And the Secretary still writes the information sharing procedures and regulations that had been so controversial along the way. So I think it's important that the Department of Homeland Security be the lead for that and not an agency in the Department of Defense or somewhere else.
So just to clarify, then DHS would set the rules of information sharing and reporting, but not the actual cybersecurity practices that these operators would have to impose to keep themselves safe.
That's correct.
And that's the difference. Before, DHS could also set the standards.
Correct, yes. In this case, now they have to work with industry to develop standards to fill any gaps. They first must look at best practices that are already existing, and then they can turn to industry and ask them for submissions and work with them. But they ultimately have to work through what they call a sector coordinating council. So each sector of the economy has what they call a Homeland Security Sector Coordinating Council. And those are the folks who would be developing the standards that the what they call the larger council that's chaired by DHS and the other agencies would then approve.
We're speaking with Rob Strayer, director of the Homeland Security Project at the Bipartisan Policy Center. Now, your latest report on cybersecurity took a look at the reporting that businesses do and found that many businesses simply do not report the cyber attacks or the threats that they've encountered. Now that this new bill sort of takes away the sticks and leaves some carrots enticing companies to comply, do you think that it's going to go far enough in terms of securing networks?
It certainly goes a long way. I think something that our report called for and is not encapsulated in the current bills is emergency authorities. That is, if there was an emergency over our critical infrastructure networks in the country, it's unclear how the federal government would be able to require the private sector to take emergency steps to remedy that. That's something we think should be thought out well in advance. It'll be better protected for our privacy and likely to lead to a more efficient and prudent response rather than something that's hastily drawn together at the last minute with authorities that aren't clear the government has. The government folks in government aren't going to plan for something unless they have the authorities to do it.
Now, you have the utility regulatory councils that exist now for reliability, the NERC, and then you also have the Federal Energy Regulatory, the FERC, which has some jurisdiction over interstate transmission, long-haul electric lines. They don't have anything to do with the local grid. Do NERC or FERC have any role in this law, or should they be involved somehow?
Right. The law specifically protects their existing authorities, but it doesn't give them new ones. And as you might know, last week the chairman of FERC asked for additional authorities to require the electric grid companies that it has regulatory authority over to respond more quickly. And also there's a gap because the distribution companies, that is the local power distribution companies, are not governed by FERC regulations. So there are gaps that would not be addressed here, and they'd only be addressed in the sense that there would be the carrots then for companies to comply with the new cybersecurity standards.
And let me ask you this, as the Bipartisan Policy Center looks across the nation, do you see any of the state electrical utility regulators that do cover the local transmission and generation, I guess, too, in some cases, on their cybersecurity?
It's very uneven from the few states that I've looked at, and I think one case of that, sort of one anecdotal case of that that's gotten a lot more attention is how states are dealing with the smart grid and smart grid privacy issues. For example, you see California taking much more proactive step and that being a lot more in the center of public debate than in other states, how privacy be protected as the grid goes to smart grid technologies.
And if you had to handicap this compromise bill, do you think it's got a chance of passage?
I do. I think it's going to be very close. So they have 54 votes if you were to count all the Democrats and Senator Collins. And then, of course, they would need 6 more Republicans and not lose any Democrats. I think it'll be a very close vote in the end. You could lose Democrats because of the any continuing privacy concerns with the bill. And Republicans will probably continue to be concerned about the regulatory standard. They could see it for 2 reasons as causing problems in the future, I think, for them. One is it might be voluntary now, but a government at any point could require some of these standards to be eligible for a federal government contract. And secondly, if there was an attack, it would be hard for a company to explain why it wasn't meeting the best practice standards if it was later sued in court for the damages that were caused by cyber attack. It would be hard to explain why they weren't meeting the basic standards that were approved in a very collaborative way, many possibly years in advance.
And very quickly, what about the House? Because you need takes 2 to tango here.
Exactly. It would set up a very interesting, if the Senate passed, a very interesting negotiation with the House over a much more limited bill that's only 12 pages long that only addresses some of the information sharing and says nothing about the regulatory or the carrots used here to set up cybersecurity standards. So it would be probably run down to the last few months of the Congress to work that out.